All right, Brother Jeremy.
That hurt. No.
All right, how y'all doing?
Good.
How you doing? How we all?
I'm all right. I'm good. Getting over the flu. I got diagnosed with tested positive for the flu for Mardi Gras, so that saved me from having to do any of that garbage. So that was good. But I'm doing what Dexter's doing. So anyway, we're in John 8. I want to get started because it's a lot. Can I drop something? I don't think so. Okay. So with that being said, let's go ahead and get started. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness that follow us wherever we go, Lord. We thank you for your word that never changes. We thank you that we can build our lives on the foundation of the word of God. And Lord, we just pray that today the words that come out of my mouth will be directly from the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Jesus, for being so kind and loving and gracious and merciful. Our lives will never be the same since we met you. We thank you for redeeming us from the hand of the enemy. And Lord, we just pray that you would be with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so John 8. Have y'all had an opportunity to read it? Because we're going to read it today. But it's just so much. There's so much in it. And it's one of my favorite stories. The first, essentially, 12 verses is is one of my favorite stories. So let's go ahead and start reading it. It says, "But Jesus went down to the Mount of Olives, and at dawn he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people were gathered around him." I'm reading out of the NIV. "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery." Now, let's talk about adultery for a second. So this word adultery in the Hebrew is called moikaia. And in our society today, we use the word adultery less and less. Because if you don't talk about it, it doesn't happen, right? So they talk about it less and less. But what Jesus said is like, if you look at another woman with lust in your eyes, you've committed adultery. That's pretty strong. I don't care who you are. So contemporary man tries to justify the behavior, referring to it as an affair or a sexual encounter. Yet the Bible uses a stronger term. It's adultery. Let's call it what it is. So, which is a specific sin against God's law. Adultery is unlawful sexual intercourse, illicit connection with a married person that is not yours. Marital infidelity. Adultery is incompatible with the harmonious laws of family life that's in the kingdom of God, since it violates God's original purpose of marriage. It is under God's judgment. God's people are to guard themselves from this sin and allow the Holy Spirit to keep their lives pure and holy. Adultery becomes a threat when Christian couples fail to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit to empower their marriage and fail to protect and safeguard the marriage through obeying the principles of God's word. So this is God's word. We are protected. We're under the covering. What happens is we fall in trouble when we get outside of the covering. So now we're outside doing our own thing, and some little pretty girl talks to you at the bank and you start flirting with her. Is that adultery? I think it is. That's what Jesus said. If you're lusting after a person, now if it's just harmless fun, that's fine. But my point is when we're outside of the covering of God's word, anything can happen. We're one step from stupid, people. I mean, are we not? I mean, golly. I mean, of course you have, and I have too. I mean, I go into doctor's offices all the time. They got cute little nurses and MAs everywhere. And I, you know, how you doing? Good to see you. That's not mine. God gave me something. That's not the point of this message, but keep that in mind as we move forward. So, the teacher of the law and the Pharisees caught a woman in adultery, and they made her stand up. So they brought her in. She's caught in the act of adultery. Now, how they find that, I don't know. But and he said, then they go to Jesus, and they said, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery and in the law of Moses." Now, these are the Pharisees. They knew the law of Moses. "In the law of Moses, command us to stone this woman. Now, what do you say?" You see, they were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis to accuse him. But Jesus bent down. This is such a beautiful picture of the love and the grace and the mercy of Jesus. So he bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. A lot of theologians think that he was possibly writing the sins of the men who were accusing her. It's also thought that he may be writing the names of the men who had been with this woman. This was a woman of ill repute, okay? She's caught in the act of adultery. And yet he may be saying, okay, well, Sam, you were with her. And how are you with her? Think about that. But what really makes me full of love is the mercy that he showed this woman. Because they want to kill her. They're going to stone her. They're going to hit her in the head with a rock. And Jesus bends down and says, wait a second, hold on. But I want you to think of it as in our lives. I was that sinner. I was the one who was sinning. And yet the Pharisees are saying, look at her sin. But don't we do that as well? Well, your sin's worse than mine, right? Yeah. Your sin's worse than mine. So we have the Pharisee spirit of saying, I'm better than you because my sin's only little, but yours is big. There's no level to sin, people. Man, there's no level to sin. Your sin is sin. So just, I've been the Pharisee and I've been the woman, right? I'd rather be the woman because you know why? Jesus protected the woman. So all of my sins, wiped away, washed away, redeemed from the hand of the enemy. How beautiful is that? It's a beautiful picture of the love and grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. We were there. So.
Maybe he was waiting to hear from his dad.
He goes on to say that. And you'll see what he says. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and he said to them, let any of you who is without sin cast the first stone. Again, he stooped down and wrote more on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only it was Jesus and the woman standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, sir. Then, neither do I condemn you. Jesus declared, go now and leave your life of sin. In some translations, it says, go and sin no more. My old friend Ira used to tell me when we'd be finished, he'd say, go and sin no more. So I'll never forget that. Neither do I condemn you. So he says, go and sin no more. What a beautiful picture of just the love and grace of Jesus. Yeah. I was that lady. I was the sinner. I was the one who was just dirty and filthy in my own sin. And he redeemed me, just like her. But I was also the Pharisee, saying, well, T. Joe's sin's worse than mine. Or Don's sin's worse than mine. So who are you? I'm probably somewhere in the middle. You know, I know I'm not Jesus. I know I'm not the woman. I know I'm not the Pharisee, but I'm somewhere in between those two. Does that make sense? Okay, so let's keep going. We got a lot of verses to get to. So when Jesus spoke to the people, again, he said, so he's got some I am statements in here. This is who I am. So he's telling them without telling them, right? So he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never be in darkness, but will have the light of life. And then the Pharisees challenged him and they said, here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered them, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I came from or where I'm going. You judge by human standards and I pass judgment on no one. Thank you, Jesus. But if I do judge, my decisions are true because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. Dexter, in your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am the one who testifies for myself, and my Father is the other. My other witness is the Father who sent me. Then they asked him, well, where's your Father? You do not know me or my Father. Now he's talking to the religious leaders of the Jews who know the law of Moses, who are the descendants of Abraham. And he goes, you don't know me, and you don't know my Father. And he's like, well, who's your Father? And let me tell you who my Father is. He said, you don't know me and my Father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would also know my Father. He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near a place where the offerings were put, but no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. So once more, Jesus said to them, I am going away. Excuse me. I am going away. But you remember, these are religious hypocrites, right? They got their status, they got their money, they got everything. They're walking around like, you know, shaking their little stuff. And all of a sudden, and like, these are the people that we would look up to, maybe like politicians or religious leaders or pastors or priests for that matter. But they're hypocrites. And listen, I'm not calling anybody a hypocrite without calling myself a hypocrite. I have been a hypocrite. We talked about it this morning. You have three images, guys. You have a perceived image, the way people look at you. You have a projected image of what you're putting out. And then you have an actual image. And you're probably somewhere in the middle of that. And what we talked about this morning was so good, is that when you're younger, you're like, okay, this is who I want people to see. This is who they see me. And this is who I actually am. And as you get older, those things start lining up. That who I am is what people perceive me, and who I am, I'm projecting, is who I really am. So that's called spiritual alignment. And I think that the Word of God teaches us that. And once we get the Word of God in us, we become more that way. Does that make sense?
That is perfect.
I believe that. Do y'all believe that?
Yeah.
Or am I just making this up? Okay, we'll see. I believe it. Right. So, religious hypocrites. The Pharisees and the religious leaders had caught a woman in adultery. They were going to stone her to death. This represented the height of self-righteousness and hypocrisy, because Jesus revealed to them that their inner hearts were as sinful as their actions, as her actions. Unlike the religious leaders, Jesus did not condemn her for her sin. Rather, he offered her forgiveness and restoration. Jesus did not approve of her sin. And he told her to sin no more, but his approach was in love and not self-righteousness. So, once again, I'm on verse 21. Once more, Jesus said, I'm going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. Now, these are the religious leaders. They said, the Jews asked, well, will he kill himself? Is that what he's saying? And he said, where I go, you cannot come. But he continued, you are from below. I am from above. You are not of this world. You are of this world, and I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, and if you do not believe that I am again, that's another I am statement, I am he, you will indeed die in your sins. And they're like, who are you? Can you just tell us? They asked. Jesus, what have I been telling you from the beginning? Just what have I been telling you from the beginning? Jesus replied, I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is trustworthy, my Father, and what I have heard from him, I will tell the world. So once again, he always goes back to the Father. Whatever the Father tells me, I'm telling you. I don't do anything without the Father telling me. I don't say anything or do anything or act anyway until the Father tells me, because the Father and I are one, right? The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but I speak just as the Father has taught me. So everything that he's speaking, he's gotten. Right? So the Father speaks to him, he speaks it out. And then the Holy Spirit is revealed in the people that believe. And then they said a lot of people believe. For many spoke. Even as he spoke, many believed in him. So that means that we're all there, right? We're all a certain way. And then we reveal that Jesus is the Son of God. We accept him. And then the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. And we walk in the way that Jesus wants us to walk.
Amen.
Right. Okay. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. So here's a question. Are you doing what pleases the Father? Are you grieving the Holy Spirit? Are you doing what pleases the Holy Spirit? He'll tell you. He'll reveal it to you. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I've grieved the Holy Spirit before in my actions and my words, mostly with my wife. She knows. I mean, this is not something that she doesn't know. But so even as Izzy spoke, people believed. Many believed. So verse 31. To the Jews who had believed, Jesus said, if you hold on to my teaching, you are my disciples. So if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, we're holding on to his teaching in attitude, in action, in the way that we speak, in the way that we act, in the way that we perceive, in the way that we treat people. We're disciples because we learn from him. So that I think about that lady that can you imagine? He just the love that he showed this adulterous woman. I mean, it breaks my heart. Because they just want to kill her. And he just shows love. And that's what the love of God fixes everything, man. Y'all believe that? The unconditional love of God. So if I can receive the unconditional love of God, then I can give it. Although I'm a human, I'm never going to get it right. But I can love my wife unconditionally. But the truth is that as long as I'm in this flesh suit, I'm going to have conditions on my love. I'm getting better. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be. And that's Amen. Called progress. He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for progress.
Amen.
So, are you a disciple? He's asking. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Don't we want to have freedom in our lives? Spiritual freedom? They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants. We have never been slaves of anyone. That's a lie. That's not true. Because in Genesis, what happened? They were under slavery for 400 years under the Egyptians. That's not true. We're descendants of Abraham. We've never been slaves to anybody. That's not true. Go back to the beginning and read about it. Exodus, Moses had to lead y'all out of there. So, liars. And he's going to talk about that. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone. You know what that means?
Everyone.
Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. We're all sinners, guys, saved by grace. So, I'm going to sin today. I sinned yesterday. I'll probably sin tomorrow. I'm going to sin tomorrow. My point is that we don't want to be a slave to sin. Oh, we practice sin. Remember that word? Are we practicing? Are we living a lifestyle of sin? I don't believe we are. Well, some people, but it ain't my job to judge. It's a job to look in the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit fill me. Look in the mirror and say, are you living a life of sin? Now, as a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So you are a born-again, blood-washed, spirit-filled son of the living God.
Amen.
Right? So if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. The S-O-N sets you free, you're free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's descendants, yet you're looking for a way to kill me. See, he knew. It wasn't anything he didn't know because he knew his destiny. He knew it was going to. He knew what the end of the game was. They're going to put me to death, and I'm going to raise him on the third day, and then I'm going to have a way for you and you and you and you to get to heaven and have eternal life with the Father. Because he knew that. It wasn't. You know, something he didn't understand. You're looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word.
Right.
I'm telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father. Okay, this is what he's saying. Abraham's our father. We're the seed of Abraham. If you're Abraham's children, Jesus said, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me. He says it again. A man who has told you the truth that I have heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. We're not illegitimate children. The only father we have is God. You see, they said, well, Abraham's our father. Now they're saying God is our father. So which one is it? Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I come here from God. I have not come of my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. So here's where, listen, he's about to lay the smack down on him. He's coming with a left-right combo. It's coming. Here's what he says. You belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and he is the father of lies. So the enemy comes to do three things: steal, kill, and destroy. He's a liar, he's accused of the brethren, and he's the father of lies. And Jesus just laid the smack down. He said, that's your daddy. That's not my daddy. My daddy, if you knew where I came from, you would know who I am. But they're still asking, who are you? Who are you? So, verse 45, yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. There's another haymaker. Boom. It's like, what are you talking about? We're the religious leaders of the whole Jewish faith. He's like, no, you're not. You're a liar. They already lied. They don't know where he came from. They think he was demon possessed. We'll get into that in a second. They don't hear from the Father, but they're proclaiming to be the hypocrites. You know, better than everybody else. But then I look at myself and like, you know, you're a Pharisee too sometimes. So have a little grace, right? So Jesus claims about himself. Here he goes. The Jews answered him. aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed? Now, that's an insult. They insulted Jesus because a Samaritan and a Jew. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan? So that was a huge insult, and saying he's demon-possessed. So, you know, we talked about the father of lies. Dysfunctional families ruin lives, and spiritually dark world are the products of lying. Has anybody in here lied? Okay. All right. No, no, no. Craig's never. But Satan is the father of lies, and this present world system is built on lies, manipulation, and deceit. Is that true?
Yes.
The world is built on lies, manipulation, and deceit. And I can tell you, we had this conversation this morning, that I have lied to get out of trouble before. Okay? And usually, I won't get exposed. But once you get exposed, it's that, remember we talked about that projected image? It's like, well, that dude's not who he says he was. He's not a leader. He's not a Christian. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, dude, I'm like, oh, God, I got to. So sometimes you have to expose yourself. I'm a liar, okay? But I'm saved by grace.
Amen.
And it's
Amen.
All under the blood of Jesus. Amen. And I'm better now. Okay, let's go with that. So everything from advertising, politics, business often operates on deception. But in stark contrast, the kingdom of God is built on openness, honesty, and transparency. The darkness cannot gain a foothold where the light is shining. So the key to release and healing is honesty and transparency before God and each other. So you know you confess your sins to God for forgiveness, but you confess your sins to another man for healing. So that's why I have men in my life that I am transparent with, and I say, man of God, I'm struggling in this area. And I'm honest with it. And you know what happens? The light shines on it, the darkness is gone, and I can heal from it. Mm-hmm. Have y'all ever experienced that?
Yeah.
I have. My phone went dead. Okay, let's go. All right. So Jesus says, I am not possessed by a demon, but I honor my Father, but you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who does seek it, and he's the judge. Very truly I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death. Now, y'all know what he was talking about. He wasn't talking about physical death. He was talking about eternal life, right? They didn't get it. They didn't understand that because they didn't know. Now, at this they exclaim, now we know that you're demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say whoever obeys your word will never taste death. See, they're not getting it. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? You think you're better than everybody else? He's like, no, that's not what I'm saying. Jesus replied, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, you see, they still don't know who he was. I know him. And if I said I did not, I would be a liar, just like you. So he's still coming with the poo. That was a gut punch. But I know him, and I obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and he was glad. And they say, well, you're not even 50 years old. How can you have seen Abraham? See, Jesus, he's eternal. He was there before, from the beginning. He says, okay, here's, you talk about mic drop? Here he goes. Very truly I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. Wait a second. They knew the word. They knew the Torah. They knew that when Moses went up to the mount, you know what he called himself? He says, Yahweh, I am. I am. And so Jesus said, I am. At this point, here we go. At this point, they picked up stones.
Oh, yeah.
They were ready to kill him.
Oh, yeah.
But Jesus slipped through. He hid himself, slipping around the ground. He's like, okay, I'm out of here. Because it wasn't his time. Right? And then, Peter, the disciple with the foot-shaped mouth, you know, he just wanted to fight everybody.
War.
Yeah, he's like, listen, we come in here with the sword. But, man, this is so good. This was such a good chapter. I got so much out of it. You know, I got notes, but I don't even want to read them. My point is this, guys, is that I think that sometimes I'm the lady who's, can you imagine, just she's on her knees, you know, trying to protect herself, and the loving hand of Jesus is on her, and it's, man, that, don't, you know, I mean, I want to cry when I think about it, because I'm hurt. And then I got the Savior over here talking about, wait a second, I'm not even writing your sins down. You've been forgiven. You've been redeemed. You're loved unconditionally. Now, go and sin no more. Right? So we still have that opportunity to sin every day. And I got a choice. Am I going to be speak words of life, or am I going to speak words of death over people, over my family, over my marriage, over my children, over my business? I have a choice. That's sin. You know, am I going to look at somebody twice? It's, you know, if I go around the block and come back again, that's probably sin. You know, if I see a pretty girl, that's, I don't want to do that.
If I look in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, I think that's okay. You can't make a block.
Come on.
You can't make a block. Can't make a block.
Standard.
You make the block.
Anything else besides
rearview mirror is okay, but you make a block.
Make a block. Listen, you make a block. So then, you know, I got convicted. I don't know about y'all, but I got convicted when I read about these Pharisees. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I can't tell you how many times that I've looked at people, and I said this earlier, is like, oh my God, look at what they're doing, you know, and have a judgment and a condemning spirit. Jesus says, I didn't come to condemn. Therefore, there's now no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. And I'm sitting over here judging Mike and judging Gary and judging Dexter. Like, you're all worse than me. So that's what I'm saying. I'm either, sometimes I'm the Pharisee, and sometimes I'm the adulteress.
Think about it. It's only by the grace of God that you don't do what I do.
Exactly. Exactly.
Only by the grace of God. It's not what you do. It's the grace of God that allows you not to do what I do.
This was such a beautiful picture of the love of God. The grace of Jesus, the mercy seat, right? He's the merciful Jesus. And I mean, for all of us, you know what? This is what I think about. Okay, redeemed, debt canceled, paid. Don't worry about it. You're good. You know, and I'm like over here and like, and I just want to, please, Lord, help me. Help me not sin again. It's like, what are you talking about? I don't even know what you're talking about. Because you've been forgiven, past, present, and future, right? So I believe that sometimes the grace doctrine, we talked about this a little bit, is like, well, I can do anything I want. I'm covered under grace. That's not true. That's right. Because I am saved by faith, by grace, then I want to be better. I want to act better. I don't want to sin, although I will fall to sin. Does that make sense? Okay. So I hope you enjoyed this. Thank y'all so much for listening. And next week we'll do John 9. All right. And who is that? Jimmy Craven. He always does a great job. All right. So I'll give y'all a couple minutes back, so let's pray. So Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. Oh, you're so merciful. You're so gracious. You're so loving, Jesus. Oh, we couldn't do anything without you, Jesus. We need you so much, Lord. We honor you. We adore you. We worship you. We thank you, God. We give you the praise and glory that you deserve because you're worthy of it, Lord. We're just filthy rags in your presence, God. Help us to be better. Thank you for your grace to cover all of our sins, Lord. Help us to be lights in this dark world. Let us use honesty and transparency instead of lies and deceit. Help us to speak the truth, but always in love. So, God, we thank you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for living inside of us. Help us to be better men, better fathers, better husbands, better grandfathers. Better employees, better employers, Lord. Just help us to help us be better. We just want to just emulate you. There's less of us and more of you. Help me to die to myself today, God. Help me to show the love of Christ today to everybody I come into contact with, God. Thank you, Father. Lord, we love you. We honor you. We thank you. We give you all the praise and glory that you deserve because you are worthy of it. And we pray this all in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's good, brother. Bless you.
Hey, guys.